Did I miss something? That's amazing. I love that introduction. It's like we're like a real studio or something. It's just absolutely freaking unbelievable.
We are a real studio. What's up, everyone? Welcome to Sell or Die Motivation Monday.
We have a little bit of a time delay. I'm looking at the actual thing versus this thing. It's about 10 seconds, so in case I say something bloopable, we can bloop it, I guess.
I don't know. We don't bloop you.
No, I know.
Beep. Isn't it a beep, not a bloop?
I have no idea. So how's it going, Jen? What are you up to?
Everything is amazing. It's a brand new week, and I am ready and excited to be here.
Went to the beach?
We went to the beach. That's right. I saw it.
Yeah, we did a Motivation Monday from the beach.
We have to go back to the beach like Labor Day weekend because we haven't yet had our annual foot race
Which we will show on video.
We will. It is hysterical. Yeah. The last two times were a fluke.
Wait. Hold on. You guys promised us.
I know.
In a meeting.
I know, but we were working so hard. Okay, but here's the deal.
You have time for a race, though.
I know. Listen, here's the deal. Jeffrey did not want to lose, okay?
Oh.
He did not want to lose, so he put the race off because the past 2 years he has accidentally won.
Yeah, by 10 yards.
All right. For those of you joining us for the first time, this is...
Motivation Monday, Sell or Die.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling and the Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, author and founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And you guys, you have helped make us the world's premier podcast on sales and personal development. So thank you a ton for your 5-star reviews. We love them. Keep them coming. I want to say hi to a few people right now. Glenn, Patrick, Alex, Steven, Eldo, Anthony, Roger, Joe, Ray, who says, I look so much happier now that I'm married. Thank you.
You know, I want to also say hello to Elvis
and
Presley.
Doug.
I want to say hello to Elvis Presley because hardly anyone addresses him anymore.
I know, right? And you, thank you for being here. If I didn't mention your name, that's because you didn't say hey to us first.
Exactly.
Thank you. We're excited you're here. We have, Matt's here. We have a really amazing session today with you guys.
Yep.
That's right.
We're going to talk about leadership, and don't hang up if you're just a salesperson don't hang up if you are a premier salesperson, a diehard, because it's not just about leading a group of people. It's about being a leader in your field or being a leader of your sales group or just being a damn leader in your community. And that's final.
That's right. And we're going to talk about how leadership affects your competitive advantage and how it affects basically your entire sale, win or lose. So before we get into it, I think we have some amazing memes today. Let's share this. It's meme time, Nada. Adam, what do we got?
All right, we got our first. If you've ever seen Office Space, then you know who this character is. You just need, again, he's basically saying you have that overbearing sales boss that's going, yeah, if you could just increase profit 1,000%, that'd be great. That'd be real great.
When are we going to play Glengarry Glen Ross?
That seems like so many.
Put down that coffee.
That's next week.
That seems like so many of your sales managers, and if you're a manager, not you, right? For sure.
If you're listening to this and you have not seen Glengarry Glen Ross, please, I implore you. It is the funniest, pathetic movie about salespeople on the planet where Alec Baldwin actually plays himself.
It is funny.
He's a major dick as a sales manager, and it's phenomenal.
All right, what else we got?
Well, this one is a little bit cuter, but every time you say sales funnel, you make this kitten cry. How many people out there are just basically getting abused by the word sales funnel? Don't make this kitten cry.
I have to tell you something. My buddy, lifelong friend, Ray Leon, owns the trademark on the word sales funnel. He trademarked it. People use it indiscriminately, and he goes after them, and rightfully so.
Wait, is he going to sue us then?
I hope not.
No, he loves us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Ray, we're attributing Sales Funnel to you
exactly.
for
it's the great
record.
Ray Liotta. In fact, his book is called The Sales Funnel.
He created the Sales Funnel.
Exactly.
Legend. Hashtag legend.
Hashtag legend. Hashtag master salesperson. Hashtag Haddon Heights, New Jersey.
Don't bring those kittens around.
No.
All right. Any others?
We have one more. If you're a fan of the show Lost, you know this as like a long embracing scene.
We have to go back.
Yes, you have to go back. But when that customer that you've finally been talking to for months
finally buys. That's so good. I like that. And they're at the beach.
Exactly.
So all of those Lost things are at the beach, aren't they? They'll get lost at the beach. Can't they just use GPS and find out where the hell they are?
They're in the middle of a tropical island with no cell phone service.
Got ya.
Okay. It's like Gilligan's Island, only just like... Just like 40 years
later.
So how
do they hug?
Is it like the Falkland Islands?
How do they hug? Are there other people on the island?
It takes forever. It's a 6-season show that I would just...
You can't explain it. There's time travel.
All right. What?
It's a bullshit show.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know what? Write a white paper.
So, you guys, this is really cool. When you join our Facebook group, our Seller Diehards official Facebook group, we have a survey. And it's like, I think we asked two questions. What's your favorite episode? Just because we want to know what you're relating to. And then what can we help you with the most? And so today's entire topic comes from Rachel B., who said, and by the way, Rachel B. is not just a Seller Diehards official member. She's also a 2020 Sales Vision member.
Yep.
2020 Sales Vision.
And we're not giving you her real last name because of all the bullshit.
That's right. Anyway, so she says she joined the group to help get leadership tips to lead and coach a team of her sales consultants. Now, we're listening to your feedback, people. We're listening to what you want, and we are delivering it to you.
Yeah.
So today, we're going to talk all about leadership because that's what Rachel B. wants. And if that's what Rachel B. wants, she can't be the only one.
That's what that B is going to get.
I bet that there are so many of you others out there who also want that. And so we're bringing it to you live. So let's talk about the value of leadership to a team.
Okay. So let's talk about this. First of all, you don't lead by example. You set the standard.
But everyone
leading by example is just bullshit. It's over. I don't need an exemplary leader. I need a leader who's going to be a standard bearer in the community and in their marketplace and with their customers. I want somebody that does something that no one else does, that they're amazing, and I have to follow this person because they are who I believe in. That's number one. Number two, you have to have a good time. If you're not having a good time as a sales team and your boss comes in, well, you know, I want to see some better attitudes around this place. Dude, start with your own. Three, if you have a shitty salesperson, fire their ass. Or get them a job at the competition that you hate the most because let them piss people off over there. So everybody has to be good. Everybody has to be all in. And the boss has to be all in on top of that, setting the standard, going with salespeople, not measuring numbers, but measuring outcomes. I want to know what happened, not did you make 5 calls today? I don't want to know that. I only want to know, did you make $100,000 in signed orders today? That's the main thing. I don't understand why people measure how many calls you made.
Alex is a leader. He just shared the stream. I think he's trying to give you a hint to also be a leader and share the stream.
Uh-huh.
Just saying.
What stream?
On the Facebook Live.
I got it. Okay.
But here's the deal. Like, leading starts with yourself. Okay, you can't be a leader to others if you are not first leading yourself. And so if you want to be the best leader, ask yourself, how am I leading myself? What kind of standards am I setting so that I can actually create the, what did you call it? Standard. So that I can actually create the standard.
Is the door in your room open or closed? Mm. That's number one. Number two, does anyone ever walk by your office and say, is he in a good mood today? And it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it totally happens. And so you have to look at, you know, well, I'm giving you this number. I need you to make your number which is one of these bullshit expressions. I don't even understand where the hell it came from, but it's like achieving your expected quota. How are you as a leader helping your people rather than demanding that your people make their number, make their quota, equal their sales plan, get to the president's club, whatever?
So but, a lot of people are thinking, like, I'm a solo rep. Like, I don't lead. Like, I'm there. I know you're thinking this. I'm just a rep. Ooh, not a good thing to think. Yeah. Not a good thing to think.
If you
delete
blow
the
your
word just.
If you blow your quota away, they're going to come to you and find out how you did it. You can sell that back to your company.
I want to book a piece of commission for every sale you help train.
So,
I love that.
Oh, wow.
I love that. Oh, man. Yeah. So here's the deal, though. Like, let's talk about what you need to do to lead yourself, because you can use these leadership qualities whether you are a solo rep or you have a team. And I think that we can really dig into that.
There's one other thing that's really important to me. Sales leaders have meetings, sales meetings, most of the time weekly, most of the time Monday. And during that meeting, they go over stupid shit that doesn't inspire anybody or anything. They have housekeeping things. Like, dude, email that to your people. In a sales meeting, it's supposed to be inspirational. So you're bringing in information that they can use. You're bringing in information that they want to be able to make happen. And you're bringing information in that, in my opinion, should inspire that salesperson to run through the wall to their first sale. So there's no, you don't want to be negative in that meeting at all. You want to give everybody a chance. You want to bring an idea. You want to bring a tip, something that you figured out on Sunday that you can bring in on Monday. And they want to walk out of that meeting ready to go sell.
That's right. You can't just show up to the meeting and hope that you're going to like get everyone's input and it's all of a sudden going to be this amazing meeting. You need to show up to that meeting prepared. You need to show up to that meeting with ideas and strategies to get the ball rolling. Yes, you want input from your other peeps, but like, why don't you spend some time thinking about it on Sunday on how you're going to motivate them? We always talk about something on Sunday in our 2020 Sales Vision group that has inspired us. If you're in that group, take that thing, take that lesson that we talk about and use it with your team, because how cool is that to be able to inspire others? Now, I think like leadership can be like, but there's a point in which leadership is really needed. And that is especially in a time where the sales rep has lost the sale, or you've been working so hard on something as the sales rep, and all of a sudden you don't get what you want. And that's where your leadership resilience comes in. And I think that that's a really big key, because some people don't realize like how much your attitude is gonna impact the other people that are on your team. So if your salesperson or you loses the deal, and then you're all pissed off for the rest of the day, you're gonna lose the next however many deals because of that attitude. And so how do you snap right back? What do you do? And you can put in the comments, because I'm curious to know, to really create that resilience and to create that positive momentum no matter what.
Resilience is all about how you react, how you respond, and how you recover from what happens to you in an instant. And to me, the best leaders have the best resilience.
You want to talk about some of the best leaders?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that, but we also have some questions. So as you were talking about inspire, you didn't see this because you don't have the screen next to you, but Roger actually said, must be able to inspire, especially when things are tough. How cool is that?
Yep.
Same page, Roger. Same page. All right, Doug says, can you convince someone that works for you to do something they don't want to do and do it well?
Yep, do it with them.
Yeah, so if you want to be a good leader, you don't just want to convince someone to go do something. What you want to do is you want to show them what's in it for them and why they might want to achieve that task. So sometimes it's showing them like part of the greater good. So if you complete this section, how does that interact with and how does that impact the whole? So for example, Alex knows he just built this website. I didn't have to go convince him to do it because he loves doing that. But and he also has a really great attitude about it all the time. But Alex just built this website. And so let's say I did have to convince him to do it. I would talk about how that's going to impact the company, how that's going to impact our customers, how that's going to allow us to serve thousands of people and help them understand competitive advantage. And so what you really want to do, and we'll talk about that in a few, but what you really want to do, Doug and everyone else there who's working with a new employee for the first time or who's working with other people and you're trying to like get them to do something that you feel they just need to do, is show them why. Show them how it's going to impact you and your customers and themselves.
The main thing that you can do as a leader is to take over in a positive way, in an inspirational way, so that when you are leading a group or just with an individual, they have confidence in you. Mm-hmm. They trust and believe in you. And that will give you the leadership edge or the leadership advantage that you can't get by simply going to a meeting and saying, we got a lot of to go through today. First, we got to get through this housekeeping. No, email them all the bullshit and go and be inspirational. That is your responsibility, to be inspirational. And you should be able to go out with a tough sale and complete the sale in front of your salesperson so that you become a rumor about how, you know, Bob really helped me with this. I couldn't believe it. He made the sale right in front of me and I got the whole commission.
So, you know, I'm going to give a personal example. I used to work with former teachers. So I sold educational software and I would pull teachers. Well, I wouldn't pull them. When teachers were ready to leave the education profession and they were looking for something else to do, I would talk to them about coming into sales. And because they came from this, I want to help the kids background and not I'm hungry to like, you know, like the sales game wasn't part of their DNA yet. What I did was I put it in perspective for them. So if you sell, let's just say 1,000 units, that means you're helping 1,000 kids. You could sit in front of the classroom and help 25 kids a year. Now you have the opportunity to help 1,000 students from all over the world. And so it's really about getting in the mind of the person you're leading and figuring out what they're passionate about and what makes them tick so that you can put it in their terms. Because for me, my terms was like 1,000 kids. Yeah, great. Amazing. I love helping kids. And you know how much money that means? I'm money driven. So like I'm impact and money driven. And so I like to see both. But for a lot of these teachers, they were more impact driven. And so I had to put in their terms, just like you're going to have to think about, and each person is different. You can sit down with each of your salespeople and ask them, what are you driven by? What do you care about? Because I want to make sure we're making your goals happen and then put the quota or financial goals in their terms.
This is what you have to do. If you're a leader, you have to recognize that there's no such thing as a hot button of the customer. Although I wrote about it, and I believe that there was a hot button, it's bullshit. There's a knob. And the knob, just like your shower nozzle, has hot and cold. And your job is to tune it to where it's on hot. But if you say the wrong thing or you do the wrong thing, it stays on cold and you get nothing. Or you get a buyer that's going to take the lowest price, or you get somebody that doesn't really like you and they have a better supplier and they go with somebody else. You have to set the tone and you have to turn the knob on hot and leave it on hot. And that will help your people understand what to do and how to do it. It's not just what, it's how. And that button or that knob goes hot when you ask the right question, you uncover the right information, and you're able to interact with somebody in a way that allows them to reveal what their motive is to be able to make this happen. And if you're the leader and you can get that motive out of the person, you're going to win and you're going to look amazing to that salesperson, and then you're going to become a rumor in your company.
Yeah, now, Bob, being a leader in the industry, Jeffrey, because you are the king of sales.
I am indeed.
And a lot of people would call you the forefather of sales, even though I
know, 'cause I'm fucking old.
I know you call other people that, but I think it's time you own that title, because okay. that person should be alive. And and you've done something really cool. You've gone back and you've studied what's made you a leader in all of your sales.
I made a lot of sales growing up. I started in my late 20s, and now it's 50 years later. But I just went back 40 years, and I don't want to talk about the old days when we had to go into a phone booth and put in a quarter. But I made million-dollar sales in New York City, lots of them. And I went back and analyzed what went into that. What was how did I meet the person? What was the creative process that went into it? What was my preparation? What were the ideas? How did I establish a competitive advantage? And how did I walk away with an order that was big? And I found out that every single sale that I made had elements in common. There wasn't one thing every sale had something in common with all the other sales. And that's what this live, I'm going to be doing a virtual seminar.
Yeah, you guys, Jeffrey is putting together a 3-part virtual seminar series with coaching calls. Watch this. Oh, I thought there was music. Okay, cool. So this is really cool. We're going through
somebody
the webpage for you in case you're too
you
lazy.
Had a girlfriend.
What? Huh? No. Oh. We're going through the webpage for you in case you're too lazy to go there right freaking now, okay?
This is the URL
we're gonna pop in there. I don't know it. Alex, what is the URL? All right. I think if you go to www.cgittimer.com, it works. If you skip the 3 W's, then you're whooshed off the screen. It doesn't work.
Really?
Anyway, yeah, for some weird reason. Anyway, there's 2 different ticket types, you guys. And Jeffrey's going to be talking about that one element, the competitive advantage piece, on 3 different seminars, virtual live seminars. If you can't make it live, you can watch the recording. But even better than the content is you're going to be getting workbooks to help you really master the materials, and you're going to be getting 2 group coaching calls with Jeffrey if you get the VIP ticket. The super VIP ticket's 4 group coaching calls and a leadership call. Should they watch this now? All right, watch this.
Have you ever been in a situation where you know you don't have the lowest price, or the prospect ghosted on you, or your slides are so boring that you can't even stand to go through them? I'm about to reveal something I've never written about, never spoken about, not even realized until I did a deep dive into my own last 40 years of selling. It's the very formula that has made me more than $100 million worth of sales. And I can help you end the frustration of lost sales that you know you should have made, blow away your sales quota, crush your competition, and create the income that you deserve. Come on, join me in my virtual summit to find out my secret formula and put it into your sales success life. It's time to hit the list.
Hit the list.
But you know, that commercial was pretty damn good.
Yeah, that was really good. You guys, I just want you to know that if you sign up before Monday, you save 25%. The price is listed there. Automatically click through to 25% off if you sign up before Monday. That's like on the $500 ticket. That's, I think you save like, what, $150?
Look at all the props we got for
that. I know. We really did. Listen, this is going to be something. This is the cheapest, the least expensive it will ever be. Freaking be, because we're turning it into Jeffrey's signature course, and it's going to sell for thousands of dollars.
Hundreds of
millions. You will have lifetime access. Get in nowza.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit that list.
All right, so this week's list comes courtesy of Dartmouth College professor Sidney Finkelstein. Is that where you went to college, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I went to Dartmouth. I visited Dartmouth one time. I threw a snowball when I was there. That's gotcha. As close as I came to it.
This is
it's like the Charlotte Country
article.
Club. I'm not getting in
what
anytime.
Amazing bosses do differently, which you can find on the Harvard Business Review. And I think Alex is going to share the link in the chat.
From Dartmouth in the Harvard Business Review?
I know. I was confused by that,
oh
too.
Oh, my goodness.
I
love it. All right. All right.
That was a good article. All right. So the first point that Sydney says is manage individuals, not teams. When you're under pressure, it's easy to forget that employees are unique individuals with varying interests, abilities, goals, and styles of learning. But it's important to customize your interactions with them and ensure you understand what makes them tick. Be available and accessible for one-on-one conversations.
That to me rings so true because no one, you specifically, don't want to feel like you're being managed like everyone else. You want to feel special. And if you're the leader, you need to make your people feel special. Everyone wakes up in the morning for a different reason with a different purpose. And you need to know each person's purpose and the things they care about the most. You need to know that if someone wants to take off for an hour to go see their kid in a play, and someone else wants to take off for an hour to go get a haircut, they may be equally important to each individual. And you need to be caring and considerate and compassionate to really understand each of your people's needs.
I do not understand haircuts.
Well,
but I can tell you this.
We wouldn't expect you to either.
Exactly. But I can tell you this. This guy is a typical professor. No offense to him. But I don't
want... Is it a him or a her?
It's a him.
Oh, okay.
Sydney Finkelstein. What the hell else could
Sydney
it be?
Could be a lady.
Oh, it could
hey,
be.
Hey, Sid. Like that, you know, Sid.
Yeah, I got it.
No, okay.
Odds are it's a man.
Okay, whatever.
From
it's
Brooklyn.
It's definitely a man, trust
me. Okay, all right, all right,
so,
all right.
You don't manage individuals. You want to manage somebody. Manage yourself. You lead individuals. Nobody wants to be managed.
Ooh.
Everybody wants to be led. That's number one. So here's a person who is 1,000% out of touch with the real fucking world. That's A. And B, I don't want to lead the team. I want to inspire the team. And if I inspire the team, they're going to do a hell of a lot more than if I'm just going, okay, you guys, we got a lot of work to do. Come on, fellas, we got work to do. It's not the Three Stooges. This is a team that is going to lead you into profit. And you want to make sure that you're inspirational every single step of the way. So you lead individuals, you inspire the team, and you manage yourself.
So
I love it.
Jeffrey just told them what's up. It should be called shit on the list instead of hit the list.
Is it like shit on toast? What's that called?
Yeah, oh, man.
No, here's
all
the
right.
Good news. Sydney's got a chance to redeem himself. Nada?
All right. So the second one we got is called Go Big on Meaning. Mm. And he cites, most employees value jobs that let them contribute and make a difference, and many organizations now emphasize meaning and purpose in hopes of fostering engagement. But this is the manager's responsibility. You can't rely on incentives like bonuses, stock options, or raises. You've got to inspire them with a vision, set challenging goals, and pump up their confidence so that they can believe they actually can win.
What does he mean, go big on meaning, then? That needs a different title. But yes, I agree.
No, Jen, it's woo. It's your
That's not woo.
You got your fucking woo
no,
in there.
No, woo would be like, give them a crystal of their choice.
Oh, no.
Do they want a pink crystal that will ground them? Or do they want the black pythai, whatever, crystal that's really hard on sales?
I want the balsamic rock or whatever those things are. And
what?
Stick it on your back.
That is not woo.
No, here's the deal. If you can inspire your people, but if you don't incent them with bonuses, they're not as apt to do it. Well, you can't just go in and say, okay, everybody, we're going to go into the deep meaning of what's going on here, and then I expect you to go out there and do it for the Gipper. No one's going to do it for the Gipper.
Everyone's doing it for themselves.
Right, exactly. Oh. And the way you get them to do it themselves is with bonuses, stock options,
but
and raises.
Not everyone
oh,
cares
bullshit.
About money.
Oh, bullshit.
I've read, no, this is not salespeople.
Hold on. There's thousands of people listening. Go in the show notes
but
and just
you
put
all
in there
are
and say,
salespeople.
I only care about...
Y'all are salespeople. This article is not just about salespeople. This is about what amazing bosses do differently for their people, no matter what. Okay, so here's the deal. Not every person cares about money.
Oh, they don't?
No, I have
okay,
read
so,
articles.
So just put in the show notes, I don't give a shit about money. I do this because I'm...
But you're salespeople. You better as hell care about money.
I will say, guys, I recently left a job that... I got paid pretty well. I was comfortable. But I hated it because there was no purpose to it. I didn't feel like I was doing anything good to help other people. My job had no meaning. It was super easy. I could have been just relaxing, not giving a shit about anything.
Yep.
People want meaning.
It was soulless.
No. Look at all the props I just got.
No, so, that's what Adam's getting.
That is not what Adam's getting.
Alex, who are those for?
But here's the deal. Here's the deal. You have to rely on the fact that you can earn that wage, and Adam looked for that next job, couldn't find it, and settled for here.
Now, he didn't settle. Oh, please.
No, I've got a lot of meaning here. I help people.
It is totally meaningful
here. That's right.
But here's the deal. We're a company that does shit, and we do it on purpose. And we do it with purpose.
We need to bring Jason Dorsey back because Jason Dorsey talked about how millennials, some of them were taking jobs that where they would be paid less money because they found more meaning and more purpose.
And
in
because
jobs.
Their mom was paying their phone bill.
So they could what?
They could take the lower priced job.
Listen. Oh, it's a good thing we love each other. All right, what's the next one, guys?
All right, the next one, we're going to move ahead. Don't just talk, listen.
Duh.
Employees tend to be happiest when they feel free to contribute new ideas and take initiative. And most managers claim they want people who do just that. So why doesn't it happen more often? Usually, the problem is that bosses promote their own views too strongly. Employees wonder, why bother taking risks with new ideas when my boss's views are already so fixed?
Let me break it down. Bosses typically listen with the intent to respond rather than with the intent to understand. And with that comes patience. And with that comes a keen thing. Can I figure out what my employee is trying to tell me here? Is there something else that they're saying? And rather than respond right away, ask another question.
Yes.
To get a deeper meaning.
That is the key, is asking questions.
Make certain that you understand what this employee is trying to convey to you. And when you listen with the intent to understand and put response on the shelf for a couple of minutes, you might actually learn something and you might actually use that answer for the rest of the team.
Yeah. So, 100% ask more questions. Also, if you have no idea if you're talking more than you're listening as a leader, why don't you just time yourself? Like, literally, all you need to do is open up one of those recorder programs and it will show like when your voice is going versus when the other people's voices are going. And you could see, like, when we used to do podcast interviews, our goal was not to talk because we want to get as much information as we can from the guest, because in that situation, we want to make them shine. And so we could literally see, okay, well, we spoke 3/4 of the time, that's not good, right? So literally put a timer of some sort or a voice memo or something on how often you're talking so that you can really figure it out. And if you're wondering if you talk too much, you probably talk too much.
So I'm going to throw this at you if you want to get your boss to listen. Double your quota without making one cold call. And announce in the meeting that I doubled my quota this month and I never made one outside call. And the boss is going to say, how'd you do that? And you can ask for money and they will give you money to figure out how they did that. And your boss will be listening with the intent to understand.
Mm. Okay, so Doug says, any other company can offer more money. Not many places can offer more meaning.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I like that.
I think he's just proving my point. All right, it's time for a short video. Watch this.
The one thing salespeople ask me consistently for the past 25 years is, what's the fastest way to make the sale? What's the best way to make the sale? What's the easiest way to make the sale? Because salespeople are in a hurry to make the sale. Therein lies the clue. Your sales manager has his foot or her foot up your ass to be able to make the quota, make the number, make the sales plan, whatever, and you're in a panic on an everyday basis to be able to go out and do that. When in fact, the opposite is what's going to get you more sales than you can ever say grace over. In a single word, the answer is patience. How much patience are you employing in your desire to make the sale? Are you
sending people value messages, or are you trying to send them sales messages? Are you following up after you send somebody a proposal to find out, do you have any questions? When can I have the money? Is the money ready? There's no value to what you're doing. Patience requires value. And that requires you as a salesperson to take your time, invest your time in what will benefit the customer most, how they will win, what's the outcome of your sale going to be, and spend your time there and then earn the sale rather than close the sale. Exercise patience, and that will translate into profit, and you'll make your number and a hell of a lot more.
All right, guys, it's time to leave you with one last thing. It's something we call the leads. It's where we bring you this segment is where we bring you what's been inspiring us all week, or Alex, what has inspired us this week so that we can help inspire you. So, Jeffrey, what's your lead?
My lead is these papers. This is a newest book called Get Shit Done. Can you see that?
We can. We can't see the small print, cover. But we can see the Get Shit Done print.
I'll tell you what the small print is. The Ultimate Guide to Productivity, Procrastination, and Profitability. Woo. And with a little profanity. But that's just me. Well, I got the Finish What You Start, which is my lead. Finish what you start. If you're going to write a book, you got to finish the book. And many people say, I'm going to write a book. I ask all my audiences, how many of you want to write a book? And they all raise their hand. And I say, well, keep your hand up if your first chapter is written. And, you know, almost every hand goes down. It's unbelievable to me. And that's the reason is you have never purchased the Napoleon Hill Truthful Living book, which has at its chapter number 2, finish what you start. Chapter 1, by the way, success is up to you. Chapter 2, finish what you start. Chapter 3, how to think. Chapter 4, imagination. Come on, this is the most unbelievable book on the planet. And it will give you the formula for how to finish what you start. Many people, me included, have a bunch of things on their plate that are halfway done, half-baked, half thought through, and there's millions of dollars there. Millions of dollars there. Have the balls to implement the idea that you are thinking about and following it all the way through until it becomes a reality. Finish what you start.
Damn, I love it. I think if you think of each of the things that you start as like a bridge and you're starting it here and you need to complete the bridge to get to the other side, and then you just start drawing out all these bridges, like how many open bridges do you have? And what happens when you have an open bridge? You fucking fall off the cliff. So you don't want an open bridge, okay? You need to finish the bridge.
And you need to pay the toll to cross it. And sometimes that toll is way more than $15 to cross the George Washington Bridge.
And I apologize. People don't like when I curse, even though for some reason there's some sort of double standard, and it's okay when you curse.
What do you mean a double standard? So,
well, it's like a girl. I'm supposed to be more ladylike. God, I'm just New York. Break. I'm real. Okay. Anyway. Okay.
Nod and I loved it. We were like, oh, damn.
Wow. Right. Jen dropped one. But here's the deal. I think, isn't language pretty much over? I mean, isn't political correctness pretty much an insult? Literally. I mean, I want to
know about that.
Hang on a second. I want to be polite.
Yes.
But I don't necessarily want to be correct. I want to be real.
Yes.
And the people who are correct are not real.
Yeah, that's true. Jeremy loves our production. So hats off to you, Proto team. Well done. Glenn is signed up for the live virtual seminar series. Woo, Glenn. All right, if you're in, pop it in there. We want to know. You'll be there live. And by the way, there's going to be a lottery to come to our studio. So if you actually want to fly here and be one of like the 10 to 15 people in the live
in
audience.
In this very studio.
Right
we're
here.
We're going to be doing it.
All you need to do.
And you'll be sitting over there.
That's right. All you need to do is purchase your live seminar ticket.
And send $100,000 to Brian. Us.
No, send your receipt to helpmeatgittimer.com and tell us which date you would like to pop in the lottery for to be here live. But please, if you submit your name, please only do that if you 100% can attend, because obviously spacing is limited.
Yeah.
All right, so here's my lead.
We will serve refreshments, tea and crumpets. You pay your own way, you get your hotel room, which we'll find, we'll get you a good cheap one.
What's a crumpet? I've never had one.
It's a British thing.
I know, but I've never actually had one, like, and I've had tea time.
It's a little hunk of cake.
Oh, those things that they come on the three-tiered thing during tea time? Oh, okay. I've called them cake.
It's a bloody crumpet.
All right, so here's my lead. I was laying down in the Shavasana pose for yoga this past week. And okay, I'm sorry, this is a little woo. And at the very end of class, the instructor said, I appreciate all of you spending...
I apologize, I can't say what that pose is. But boy, my mind wandering.
Oh boy. No, you're just like lie down with your hands
gotcha.
Open, your
gotcha.
Feet, your yeah. I, feet together. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm lying down and it's the very end of class. It's the final Shavasana. And the teacher said, I want to thank you all for spending the last hour with me. And I want you to thank yourselves. Namaste. And it was like, wow, you're right. Like, we are often so grateful to other people and making lists every morning. There's the grateful gratitude journal of who we're grateful for and what we're grateful for. But when do you ever put yourself on there? When are you grateful for how you're investing in your self-care? When are you grateful for what you're doing for yourself, when you're taking the time for yourself? So my lead this week is to go do something that you can thank yourself for and then report back to me. I want to know what it is.
So I have an idea.
Yes. What's
and
your idea?
I've been doing it every day for a long, long time. You have to adopt the Ric Flair philosophy of woo. Ric Flair invented woo way before woo was woo.
Oy vey.
Because he would come out and go, woo! And
wait,
one more time. Woo!
Nice.
I would go in. I go in the bathroom in the morning, and I go in the bathroom and I go, woo! And if every one of you does that, you're going to start your day on the right track to
yes.
be grateful for yourself and who you are, and to understand that you are the person that's going to drive the train that day and make everything that you touch turn to money.
Yeah, that's right. All right. On that woo note.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up this week, we have an unfreaking believable lineup. We have Oren Claff, who's the author of Pitch Anything, but he's also written a new book called Flip the Script. We interviewed him this week when we were at the beach, and he's on fire. He is amazing.
You're going to get a brain full. I promise you this. You're going to have to listen to it two or three times to really get the total meaning of it. But this guy understands and can teach you how to implement. And I promise you, it is worth gold.
This is going to go down as one of the best episodes in the history of Sell or Die.
Yep.
It's tomorrow. You do not want to miss it, okay? Make sure you're subscribed on the podcast because it is freaking phenomenal, and I do not say that lightly. And then on Wednesday, we have Gina Tremarco from Woman Your Mother Warned You About and Pivot 10 Results. She started an improv comedy theater, and she's going to talk to us all about her boudoir shoot and improv and comedy and sales. I mean, it's a little racy.
But hard R. Awesome. It's hard R.
It's awesome. And then lastly, we have a Sell or Die Extra with John Hoskins. He's the co-founder of Advantage Performance Group. And so we're going back into the archives a little bit from some of Jeffrey's Selling Power Lives that he did. I don't even know when you did those, but they're still relevant. And that's why we've grabbed some nuggets from that episode to present to you on Thursday and then Friday's best of. So make sure you're subscribed.
Friday is the best of. And you're going to get...
Yeah?
You're going to get the best of what happened. You're going to get more of Oren.
I bet you're going to get some woos, too.
You're going to get woo! All right. I'm not going to tell you to go have a great week because that may piss Jeffrey off. So go have a woo week.
Go have a successful week and make that success breed all the way until the end of the month to where your number is so great that your boss wants to know, how did you do it?
That's right.
And you have a fee schedule. And you say, if you want to know how I did it in the executive summary, it's $1,000. If you want to know in detail, it's $2,500. Sell your wisdom.
Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there and woo or sell something, even if your ass falls off.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.